This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, for more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And if you get a chance to rate our podcast on your provider, we'd appreciate you taking the time to do that. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is February 10th, 2017, and it's all about above average investing for the average investor. That's what we talk about every day. We're going to make you better. That's my goal. Miriam Turk, who writes a blog called The Real Money Story, has a pretty good definition for the average investor, by the way. She says, for many of us, investment management is inconvenient but necessary. We have money invested in the stock market and are counting on decent returns to meet our financial goals, especially for retirement. We are what I define as the average investor. Now, this is her definition, which pretty much tracks what I think is. We're not financial majors. We're not spending our hours in the day trading stocks. The following are common traits of the average investor. And this is what I wanted to get to. The following are the common traits of average investor. The average investor is relying on the stock market to help retirement because he or she knows that saving money under a mattress isn't enough to meet future needs. The average investor does not have time or inclination to research thousands of investment options. The average investor uses simplistic devices like Morningstar ratings to make investment decisions. The average investor would prefer to not pay financial advisors to manage their portfolio because of the fees. At some point in time, the average investor has followed a stock tip from TV or magazine or friend or relative and lost money. You've heard me tell you, don't buy a stock tip. The average investor does not make the advertised returns of mutual funds. The average investor has either a net loss or marginal gain in the stock market compared to those on Wall Street. The average investor prefers to buy and hold stock strategy because he doesn't have time to track and research the stock to determine when to sell. Excuse me. The average investor is afraid to sell when the stock is up because of fear or pulling out too early, missing more gains. The average investor is afraid to sell when the stock is going down because it means acknowledging a loss. Does that describe you? Any of those describe you? That's what my goal is, to get you out of any of those descriptions. So let's try to do that. You know, don't ever try. There's a lot of things you can do that are not onerous that can improve you, improve your result. Okay, so that's what we're about. Now, can we help you make some decisions today? Or you can call live right now. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. You can call at any time, matter of fact, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 888-992-4278.
Hi, Steve Justin. I'm a podcast listener from Sacramento area, so I have a general investment question. Basically, I'm 43 years old, and I max my 401k every year. That's $18,000. I got some extra saving, about $50,000 to invest for my retirement. Because one guy, is famous for his low-cost mutual fund and bond fund. So I want to invest about this money into one guy funds. Basically, 80% stock, 20% municipal California bond fund. But my only worry is that since, the stock market is really high right now, I wonder whether it is a good time to put money into the market. I would listen to your comments on the podcast. Thank you. Bye.
You know, the market is high right now, and I've been saying that for a while, but it can go higher, and I have mentioned many times that it can go higher for a long period of time. No one knows where the top is. And if you have a lump sum of $50,000 and you want to invest in the market, okay, maybe you don't want to do it all at one time. Use a dollar-cost average approach. Put some in every couple of weeks, be consistent about it. Vanguard funds are fine. I like the Vanguard ETFs. And you mentioned 80-20, 80% stock, 20% bonds, and you're 49. I wouldn't do any bonds. This is not a time to do bond funds, just not. If you're looking for income, you could do something maybe high dividend paying ETF or something, but I certainly wouldn't do bonds when interest rates are rising. When the Fed says they're going to raise rates, even though they're doing it very slow, I'm just not keen on buying bond funds. Buying individual bonds and holding to maturity, I'm okay with. But a bond fund, I'm not. So, you know, you're never going to guess the top. You're never going to guess the bottom. Yeah, I could say wait for a correction, wait for a big correction, then put the money in, and that would be nice. But I can't tell you when that's going to happen. It might be the summer. You know, we didn't get much of a correction one day, even not even a day, you know, when Trump was elected. So it was just overnight in a futures market, 1,000 points down on the Dow, and that was it. And the next day it opened up higher. Didn't even, from the closing to the opening, there was a 1,000-point move, but by the time it opened, nothing. So there really wasn't any correction, and the market is overvalued. It will correct. I just can't tell you when. I wish I could. If I had that crystal ball, great. But if you start dollar cost averaging, you'll just buy more. If the market goes down, you buy more. If the market goes down more, you can buy more. And you have, if you don't put it in all at one time, you have money to continue to buy. Anyways, the list of options is overwhelming. Prices vary widely, and opinions from friends or family can be conflicting. Three clues for finding your first ETF. That's one of our talking points today. I have three others that maybe we can touch on. What are the best industries for job seekers right this minute? Not for the future, but right this minute. What are the best industries? International income. I have an international income suggestion. Okay, and you know, a lot of people are looking for incomes. Certainly can't get it in savings accounts and CDs. Maybe here's something that might work. And finally, IRA and Roth IRA tax perks got a little bit better, just a tad, for certain people, certain classes of people. And so we'll talk about that if we can. 888-99-CHART is my number. The market was up today again, two decent up days. The Dow's up 97, the NASDAQ up 19, and the S&P up 8. So that's what the market's doing. You know, as long as investors think that the market's too high and I don't want to invest, and you still get a lot of resistance to the market could crawl higher. Why do I say that? Does that sound wrong to everybody out there? Remember, I said, as long as people, investors think that the market is too high, as long as they think it's too high, the market could crawl higher. The reason being is, just like this recent caller, there's money on the sidelines. People are worried. Oh, I don't want to invest it when it's too high. It's going to fall. I want to wait for it to fall. And that means the market keeps crawling up, and those people incrementally keep putting money in, and that keeps the market up. When everybody thinks that the market is not going to correct, when everything looks great and we're just going to continue to go because, you know, the GDP has done really well and all those tax benefits for corporations are going to make them wealthier, the market's going to go up forever, you get that kind of attitude, then the market's going to go down. Kind of contrarian, isn't it? Well, that's because the market is contrarian many times. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're here to talk about your money, any money, everybody's money, everything about money. So bring money, by the way, will not buy you happiness. By the way, if you're not a happy person, you're going to be unhappy even if you have a lot of money. If you're a miserable person, you're going to be miserable. Don't matter. But it does resolve some money problems. What's your money question? 888-99-CHART is how to get through to me right now. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Dan in San Diego. How are you doing, Dan?
Good, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you for the call.
You mentioned you have some gold positions.
Yep.
And what I'm trying to figure out is the sentiment around gold right now. It's been going up for the last days, week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And other than the Donald Trump uncertainty, I really can't see what's causing it to go up. What are your thoughts on gold?
Okay, you need? Okay, good question, Dan. Look at if you ever look at charts, And you know, go, look at UUP, which is the power shares for the U.S. dollar. Okay?
Right.
And if you look at the U.S. dollar, ever since the beginning of the year, the dollar kind of has been falling. And, of course, you know, ever since the beginning of the year, gold has been going up. So it's about the dollar, you know, at this point. Now, the last 3 or 4 or 5 days, the dollar perked up a little bit and gold has slowed down. But it looks like the slowdown in gold, even the last 4 or 5 days, hasn't been that significant compared to the dollar getting strength. So what we're seeing here, Trump is trying to talk down the dollar, Dan, right? Trump.
Yeah.
So he wants a weaker dollar for exports. I'm cheering him on. Because weaker dollar means stronger gold prices. And I'm in gold prices. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think if you watch the dollar and think about the sentiment of the dollar and just knowing that that's going to be reflected in the gold number, okay, then you'll be a lot better. You'll understand a lot more why gold is moving. Now, you also add to that, Dan, it looks like we're getting a little hint of inflation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And gold goes up when inflation goes up. So you got a little bit of wind at its back kind of thing going for gold.
Okay. Thank you much, Steve.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate it. Now, I'm not a big gold investor. I've told people that now for, what, a year and a half? And I've been in gold for, what, a year and a half? So, but I'm still not, you know, it's just not one of my favorite investments. But if I see opportunity in anything, I'm going to take it. Why wouldn't you? Of course you would. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, everybody. 888-992-4278. We had hardly any economic statistics out this week. Last week, we had a blizzard of data. This week, hardly any. So there really wasn't much on the economic statistics driving the market. So therefore, it was all about politics driving the market. I don't know if you noticed that, but the politics are driving the market. That is kind of worrisome because the long term, that's not going to work. What long term drives the market is earnings. And what drives earnings is sales. What drives sales is stronger economic conditions. And the market is seeing that possibility with what's going on in Washington. Now, the fact remains that that's only been talked about. Nothing's really happened. Has there been tax cuts? No. Has there been reduction in rules and regulations? No. We don't even know if they even come. Let's say they do come. How big are they? How impactful will they be? The market's assuming that it will. What if the package that Trump keeps talking about stupendously, or whatever terms he uses, aren't? Just speculate. See, I'm a very fundamental type of guy. What drives stock prices is sales growth, earnings growth of corporations. Now, the economy has to drive that. Do we see that happening yet? No. Does it look like it's coming? Yes. But no one knows what degree. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have instant access to useful information and other kinds of things that I have available. All at your disposal, anytime, free. It's also free to sign up. Doesn't require anything. Go to InvestTalk.com. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Steve, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
This is regarding the stock Gilead, G-I-L-D.
Uh-huh.
Stock has beaten down from the 50% from the past highs.
Yep.
Is it a good idea to enter into this stock?
No. Gilead's had problems, and every time someone calls me about them, I say, you know, it's been in a downtrend for quite some time, and it looks really, really cheap. It really does. And, you know, it kind of is cheap. I'm not even saying that it's not. But it's had numerous problems. One of them is their profits are going down and sales are going down. So I just, And it's still, it's only a 6 PE. It's going to make $8.19 next year after $8.88 this year. And then that's after $11 last year and $12 a year before. So this is the problem. It's going in the wrong direction. And until it turns around, I don't think so. It had a big, huge dump from 72 down to 66 three or four days ago. I think you got to wait till it starts showing your strength, Ruby, before you go into it. There's an old saying, don't try to catch a falling knife. And this knife is falling. You're going to get cut if you try to catch it. Let the knife hit the ground and stop rattling around. Then you can pick it up. And it really hasn't hit the ground yet. So I'd stay away from Gilead. G-I-L-D, everybody, is a symbol. Gilead develops therapeutics to treat viral, fungal, respiratory, and cardiovascular diseases. Has good products, good drugs, but I stay away from it. Thanks, Ruby. I appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. So tips for finding your first ETF. Okay, how do you... I actually had this question put to me in an email today. You know, what should I buy? How do I even start this process? Well, first of all, you got to understand what an ETF is, exchange-traded fund. An exchange-traded fund is like a mutual fund in the sense that it is a group of stocks, whatever in the ETF. And do you know how many ETFs there are out there, by the way? Right now, there at last count, 1,974 of them. So how do you know which ones to buy? Well, some of the ETFs are easy to understand. Follow ETF that follows the S&P 500. In other words, they have all 500 stocks inside the ETF. And just like a mutual fund that tracks an index, ETFs can track indexes. And many of them do track different slices of the market. Most of them, 99 9/10 of them, are not actively traded. So they're all following or buying or holding a small part of the market, except for those group of ETFs who use leverage. And that's a whole nother conversation. So first of all, if you're going to try to find an ETF, you got to limit your options. Okay, what do you want to accomplish? Do you want to, you want to be follow the stock market as it goes up? And as it goes down and just ride the waves of the stock market, that will cut your search way down. Do you want to just buy big blue chip stocks and that will pay dividends? Well, there's certain ETFs to do that. Do you want to buy ETF that follows commodities? There's ETFs to do that. You have to first define what you want to do. And if you have no idea what you should do, you buy an ETF that follows indexes, the major indexes, which is the Dow and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000, the Russell 4000. Those are major indexes that you can just follow. Now, before you buy an ETF, you also look at your current portfolio. What kind of ETF does it need? Now, you have to have some knowledge of what you're trying to build a portfolio of stocks, okay? And you gotta buy, you wanna build it that has proper diversification. And that's, if you already own something in your portfolio, you don't wanna duplicate what you already have. So you gotta think about those. That, you know, there's lots of ETFs that will help you do that. And then you have to have that plan in place and then execute it, then do it. Figure out what you should do and then go do it. A lot of people, you know, kind of do half the work and then stop. It's not that hard. Really isn't. And you can always ask someone like me for advice. They give it to you for free. Well, I do. I'm sure most of my, well, I don't know if they do or not. But I do. I'll, you know, just say, you know, is this a proper diversified portfolio? And this is what I have. I'll say no. I'll say yes. I'll say, you know, this is what you should do. You have too much of this or not enough of that. You know, I'd be happy to do that. Just send me an email. Anyways, enough of that. We're heading into part two of our Friday Invest Talk. And we're not all about stocks and bonds. What are the risks of a home equity line of credit? How about the new reverse mortgage lines of credit that you see advertised? They talk about it. Should you do that? Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. You can talk live with me right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, 888-992-4278.
Why are earnings so important? What does that mean, earnings per share? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Our podcast will continue next. Here's good reason number two for a portfolio checkup with Steve.
You need to rebalance your portfolio.
Reducing risk is the number one priority for everyone these days. In a low interest environment, you crave those great returns that stocks can give, but you're afraid of the risk. So, what's the formula?
If you're younger, you want to have more exposure to more risk. If you're older, yes, you can have less risk. But the balance of high tech or blue chip or dividend paying stocks,
there's got to be balance.
You need to rebalance your portfolio.
And Steve can help you in person in California or via Skype or telephone from anywhere in the USA. To schedule your one-to-one, one-hour checkup with Steve, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Looking ahead to our next InvestTalk, they don't always tell you about the other stuff you need to do. Investing apps can foil financial planning. That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk, where Steve and Justin answer your money questions, no matter when you ask them.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jay in Palo Alto. How you doing, Jay?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good. So Teva's had a ton of bad news. CEO's gone. Loss of patent, earnings on Monday. It's been going down. I called a little while ago, and you guys said it has strong support at 32. Well, we're there right now.
Yep,
what are
we are.
Thoughts?
Yep. I think it's good news that the CEO is gone.
Okay.
Because we're trying to flush out all the bad stuff, right, out of CEO Teva. T-E-V-A is the symbol, everybody. It's a big Israel developer of generic specialty over-the-counter drugs. Very solid company, makes very solid profits, always has. And it's turned around sales recently. We'll know what the new numbers will come out next quarter, but the last two quarters, the sales have grown. And the stock has been hit and hammered and continues to have problems. Okay. Jay, I'll tell you the truth. I think that it's trying to find a bottom in this area. And I'm not going to sweat it as long as it keeps hanging around in this area. So we'll see what those earnings. If the earnings are bad and worse than everybody thought, the stock is going to take a dump. And we own this in some of our managed accounts. So I mentioned that before. But I have a feeling that bad news is probably built into the stock. It's got to be really bad. And I don't think that that's going to happen. So I don't know if you own it. I would hold it.
All right. And if it takes a dump, is that time to get in more?
If it takes a dump, I wouldn't buy it that day, but I certainly would consider after a few days, a week, to see how it reacts to buy it because it's just getting cheaper my mind. Now, remember, this is only one stock of a group of stocks. You don't all have your stocks look like this. You don't want loser stocks in your portfolio. But there's a point where you say, this is a pretty deep value play, is what this is. Okay, Jay?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah,
let's go to Jamie in Palo Alto. How you doing, Jamie?
Good, how you doing, Steve? Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, and I'm new to investing. I have about $20,000 that I would like to invest, but I don't know where to start. I don't know, you know, specifically with you guys, what is your minimum for your company to invest, or maybe if you recommend a company where I can open a portfolio for myself.
Yeah, with that amount, you probably should just to work on buying. You know what an ETF is, Jamie?
Yes,
you know what an index fund is?
Yes, I did my research, honestly.
Okay, you would probably start there. Don't try to pick individual stocks yet. When you get up to about $50,000 or so, then you can start, you because you need to buy 20, 30 different stocks in different sectors. It's not, and you want to have proper diversification. And there are money managers who will take $20,000, but they're not necessarily the good ones. Let's put it that way. Okay?
Okay.
So you don't want to, you know, I think you would be better served just buying an index, a few, maybe two or three indexes, S&P 500, a Russell 2000, a QQQ, which is the NASDAQ 100. And, you know, spread the money around. Don't invest it all at one time, Jamie. Maybe buy four or five times, spread the money out over the next few months, and do it that way. If the market does correct, then put the money in. But, you know, it's a little high right now, but we don't know if it's going to go higher or not. I can't tell you. Anybody who says they know, they're lying. No one
knows. Right, that's kind of my worry is, do I invest now or should I wait for the adjustment?
Yeah, you could wait.
That's what I was.
One of the problems, as Jamie, one of the problems as a new investor is I could tell you, yeah, go ahead and wait for the correction. And when the correction comes, you're going to say, oh, I'm not going to put my money in there because it's going down. It's going down. I'm not going to put my money in it. It's going down. And that's what happens. You never get in because you're scared. That's why I suggest breaking it up in chunks and put it in over time. And just disregard where the market is. Because over a long term, year, 2 years, 3 years, the market's going to go up.
I see. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate the call. Okay, let's go to Jay in Fort Lauderdale. How you doing, Jay?
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
I wish it was going better health-wise because I'm still fighting this stupid sinus infection. I don't know how.
I've been hearing that you've been a little bit sick because I've been listening to you for, you know, I listen to you like almost every day. So then I can tell when you're sick and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you feel better?
Excuse me. I know my voice is all shot, you know, and then I have this cough that I just sometimes I can't just stop. You know, it just comes. It's very annoying. Do you want to talk about the dollar?
Yeah, but you're doing great. You're doing great. So, I get a lot of knowledge from your show, and I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
And
appreciate it.
You know, yeah, you and Justin, great, man. I mean, this show is like I don't know. You guys love what you do. I can tell you that.
Oh, I don't know what I would do. I retired 20 years ago when I was in my 40s. I was lucky. Don't think I was that smart. I just got lucky. And I was bored out of my mind. I love doing this. I'm not going to do... Yeah, you're going to have to carry me out kicking and screaming, I think.
I know. I gotta agree with you there. You do love what you do.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I was going to say that, I mean, you know, I don't know. I've been basically listening to you for a while, and I just wanted to know, like, how you put, you know, things together in terms of, you know, sometimes they speak that like the currency is going down and gold is going up and interest rates are going left. And, you know, it's so confusing to kind
it
of
is. It's
correlation down. Right.
Jay, it's massively confusing. Jay, it is.
Yeah. So it's like so confusing. I was just wondering if you can clarify a little bit of it. Because I don't understand when the dollar goes up or inflation is going down and I just don't understand that kind of language.
Okay, think about it this way. Okay, let's start with.
Yeah, it might be simple for you, but you know what I mean.
I understand completely. Trust me, it took me years and years and years and looking at what are they talking about? You know, trust me. Okay, let's start with just the dollar because you can't learn it all at one time. It just doesn't compute. But let's just start with the dollar. Okay, the U.S. dollar is a currency that is called a reserve currency because everybody in the world loves it. They feel safe owning it. It's solid. They know that it's not going to be inflated away. They know it's not going to, you know, the government's not going to do something stupid. That dollar's been around forever. Okay. So it's called a reserve currency. So anybody and everybody in the world loves the dollar. They will never say that, that they hate the U.S., but they still love the dollar. Okay, now all currencies, almost all currencies, trade against each other. In other words, you got the euro, and you got the Japanese yen, and you got the Chinese yuan, and on and on and on. They're supposed to trade and free float against each other, okay? How much value? And then they say, well, what does that mean when they trade? How many dollars should buy how many euros? And how many euros should buy how many dollars? Well, it's what people think, the traders and investors that trade in dollars. Now, why is that important? Because currencies, the strength and weakness of the currency usually reflects the strength and weakness of the economies that they represent. So the U.S. dollar represents our U.S. economy. One of the reasons why it's the big reserve currency is because our economy has been strong and very resilient for 100 to 300 years. So everybody is very safe with that. So now, how do I use that in investing? I mean, well, if you're going to buy a foreign stock, remember that foreign stock makes money in foreign currency. So if you buy with U.S. dollars, and you got an exchange rate there. If the dollar gets stronger with that currency, then there's an issue of how much profit you're going to make or not make. I'm trying to make this simple, Jay. Even simpler, gold is traded around the world. Everybody loves gold. In India, gold is like, everybody wants to own gold because it's so safe, okay? Well, so if I buy gold in U.S. dollars, it's different than if I buy gold in rupees in India or so how much is gold worth in dollars? Well, gold is what we call a pretty stable value commodity, right? It's a precious metal.
Yes.
So gold is highly sought off around the world, so it's stable against most currencies. So if our currency goes down, it usually means the gold goes up because gold is stable and currencies are floating against each other. They don't just stay in one spot, but gold is much more stable. So, it's a matter of time and understanding of how the currencies work against different things. Gold, oil is traded worldwide. Many commodities are traded in dollars worldwide, not in foreign currencies. Everybody wants a dollar. Remember, they want the dollar. They know it's safe and sound. You even got foreign governments that use the dollar as their currency. Don't even have their own currencies. Several of them around the world. So, Jay, all I can tell you is it's just a lifetime of learning, and that's one of the reasons why I love doing this, because it's always something new. Jay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's just going to take time. What can I tell you? If you have the interest, you'll learn it. And then you'll find out as you learn more and more and more, you'll say, gee, I need to know more. It's a never-ending process. That's why one of the reasons I like it. You get smarter, you get more informed, but you never really know. Our weekly premium newsletter went out to subscribers today, as it does every Friday. Each week we cover current market conditions, analyze the week's statistics, looking at the international market if I can, all kinds of things, general strategies. We also shine the light on a couple of stocks we think are worth a second look. In our portfolio management section, we talk about exchange-traded funds this week, as we discussed them today, how to pick your first one. So I think it's pretty useful. There's a consumer watch section. You can subscribe. It's $10 a month. It comes out every Friday on investtalk.com.
Did you know KPP Financial offers a complete range of real estate services? For many investors, a decision about real estate will factor big in their financial lives. KPP Financial can help you make the best possible decisions. And if you'd like to talk more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin.
guys. Love the show. Listen to your podcast daily. Been looking at a stock, a food stock, DPZ, Domino's Pizza. It's been going crazy, I know, for a long time and hitting new highs every day now and so forth. I'm looking for a pullback, and I don't know if there'll ever be one. What kind of a pullback would you guys look for at an entry point of this stock? Do you feel this is a stock worth purchasing? Thanks. Look forward to hearing your answers.
Oh, there will be one. They had one last May. There will be a pullback. DPZ, Domino's Pizza. There'll be a pullback. And there always is. It's just how deep is it going to be. And it's been kind of marching up very rapidly recently. So, yeah, you want to wait. It's a franchise operator. You know, everybody heard of Domino Pizza. 12,500 pizza delivery and carry out restaurants. And they're over, and they're in over 80 countries. It's not small. They're going to make $4.25 last year, or 2016, I should say. It's still an estimate. We don't have the numbers in yet. And they're going to make $5.12 next year, and the 20-plus percent growth in both years in earnings. Sales are growing 10, 15% a quarter. Very steady, consistent, and therefore it has earned a P.E. of 47. Now, I would be very careful at this stage because it's at the top range of its five-year P.E. range, 16 to 47, and it's at 47. I think you need to wait. Very solid company, great company, but you know it's an almost a $9 billion company, so it's big. But be patient. You know, that's one of the things you really learned that takes time. It took me time. I don't know if it'll take everybody time, but it took me time to be patient. That if you're looking at a stock and it's one you want and it keeps moving up and up and up and you think it's expensive, be patient. And maybe it'll never stop. Then go find another stock. There's thousands of them out there. Don't fall in love with just one. Just be patient. Year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, maybe it'll give you an opportunity. But you got to keep watching it. That's why you have a watch list, and you watch it. Most people have a watch list, I've noticed, because I've been doing this for umpteen bazillion years. Most people have a watch list, and then they don't watch it. Watch list means you watch it, and you watch it, you look at least once a week, look at the stock, see what's going on. At least once a week. My watch list, I look at every day. I have it on my screen. It's in front of my face constantly. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. A reminder, if you can't get near a phone or would like to ask a question directly, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and we'll get back to you. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Harish in Santa Clara. How are you doing, Harish?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
My question is about it's Airfill Metal MT stock.
Uh-huh.
Talk about you just talked about watching something. I've been watching this for almost like 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
It's been dropping, and I first heard about this from a friend of mine about this company. And then recently I saw that it made its first time in the last 4 or 5 years it made some profit. So I was just wondering, if you can take a look at this company and then see if it's a good entry point now.
I would say yes. As I look at a chart, it's $8.76. It popped up a last couple of days. It looks like it's trying to break up the new 52-week high, and I think this is a buy. Arcor Mattel, everybody, MT is the symbol. It's a Luxembourg-based manufacturer of semi-finished and finished steel products for automotive appliances and other markets. It's a $27 billion company. One of the things I like about it, Harish, is it's big. Even though you're right, lost money several years. Everybody hated all commodities. And you've heard me the last couple of years, year and a half, telling people you need to start looking at commodity stocks. Not all of them, but you need to, and this is one of them, and one of the areas, I think it hit a bottom back last March, which was what, $3 or so?
Okay.
And it's slowly marching up from that bottom, and it looks like it's going to make 70 cents. Well, it already made 70 cents in 2016, finally, after 4 or 5 years of losing money. It's going to make 76 cents this year. So I think if you're going to get into this kind of company, this is the time to do it. Grab your courage, go ahead and buy it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Harris. Appreciate it. I had an email today from someone from Great Britain who listens to a podcast, which is very nice of him. And he already took some profits. He's a little worried about the market, so he took some money out of it. And the question is, and I'm paraphrasing because it was a couple paragraphs, but my question is, since I'm not very patient, I wonder if there's something I can do with the cash to earn a low-risk income. I like a relatively safe, say, 4% return. Is that possible? Perhaps buying an ETF. It would need to be something that would not be affected too much by the general market correction I think is coming. And my quick answer to him, I told him I'd answer it on the show, but my quick answer to him was, no, it's not possible. You're not going to get a relative low-risk income investment giving you 4%. Not going to happen. Not here. Not now. Not in this time. So because of the interest rate environment we're in, and when you talk about low risk, it means you can't take risks. I mean, take very little risk. You talk about an ETF. Well, if you're going to get a stable value ETF or maybe a very short-term bond ETF, you're talking about maybe 1% or 2%, maybe, return. So there just isn't. There just isn't. If you want to talk about higher returns, you want to get 4% on the ETF, you're going to buy like a dividend-paying ETF. It's just difficult. They're not out there. It's not that common. Anyways, best industries for job seekers. What are they? This is a survey that done just recently, and we're talking about job seekers right now today. What are the best industries to find jobs? Healthcare and transportation. Worst industries right now, advertising to find a job, mining, real estate, and excuse me, mining, real estate, and, it's really funny because I wrote it down and I can't read my writing. Isn't that bad? There's three of them. Now, I would say maybe that is right now. Transportation, I'm thinking of the future. There's going to be a lot of self-driving trucks on the road. So I don't know about the future of that. But right now, that might be so. If you're out there looking for a job. And this study looked at 25 different industries. Okay, that is current industries. And, going back to that question I have, you might want to consider an international income ETF, a high-yield ETF, short-term, a high-dividend-yield ETF. There's Vanguard has them. Kind of like Vanguard has several of those. I like that idea. Okay, our time is up for the hour. Are you one of our InvestTalk insiders? It's a free service making information and education available 24 hours a day, including our webinars, and you can play it whenever you want to. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financially Registered Investment Advisor Firm. Maybe I should say that faster. Registered Investment Advisor Firm. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, I really appreciate you listening today. And let's do it again Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.